Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, with Hugh Dixon as Gordon Allen and Patricia Gallimore as Kate. Part 2, The Volkswagen Equation.
The dragon in his underground cage of lead and steel. The cage encased in a bowl of two thick layers of concrete. The bowl buried deep in the ground and enclosed by the reactor dome. It is a strangely silent world in and around the perimeter fence, 5 square miles of Tuscan coastline where birds and insects no longer choose to live. Only the fish thrive in the suddenly warmer water spreading from the reactor outlets into the sea. The local fishermen do not take advantage. Some of them claim to have seen a mutant monster fish. None of them will lay a net within sight of the reactor complex. The Emilio Segre fast breeder, silent and secret, is only loved by those to whom it gives employment.
Niente.
Enzo. Dolce cazzo.
You son of a whore, Johnny. When did you last see a dawn?
I'm picking up my son. He's been up with one of the real fishing boats.
What do you mean, real? What I do is real fishing. Laying lines, not sweeping the sea clean with half-inch net.
It doesn't look like you caught much.
Is that sound sensor still ringing bells?
Faulty instrument.
So they say. Did you know we're coming on stream Thursday?
Our French gurus are in a hurry. They must be homesick. I'll cheer up. Thursday might mean a party. Some fat cat to cut a ribbon and break a bottle of bubbly. They've even got an American coming down for the occasion.
Dave Ridgway.
Well guessed.
Not too difficult with only 4 people off the train.
Here, let me take your bag.
Thanks.
The car's round the corner. What are these bare fields of wooden poles? I kept seeing them from the train.
Hop fields? The round white-top buildings in the valley, that's where the hops are dried. I imagine California looks very different.
You're well informed.
It's the home address on your CV. I did wonder about the odd few thousand miles of commuting to Washington every day.
Weekends, whenever I can. My wife didn't fancy the idea of uprooting. She teaches at Berkeley. I was at Berkeley myself for a time.
Uh-huh.
Fast breeder territory after Laguna Beach did the dirty on us.
Laguna Beach?
As well you haven't heard of it. Our experimental fast breeder in the 60s. I went there from college. We hardly got the thing started up, but we had to close down.
Finance?
Technical problems.
Muff, page 10, para 3. Laguna Beach, October the 6th, 1966. The China Syndrome.
Mary?
Dave Ridgway.
Hello.
Hello, Mary. Hey, you're right on top of the world up here on the hill. That is the most spectacular fall landscape I've seen outside Virginia. I guess it's Mary who looks after the flowers in this garden.
Oh, yes, I'm strictly grass, hedges, and cabbages.
And if your boys are anything like my girls, they don't do anything to help inside or out.
Fair's fair. The boys do the washing up evenings and Sunday lunch.
I'll remember to tell that to my women next time I call home. Is that your boys with the music?
Roxy, with a friend of his.
I'm afraid they actually compose that awful stuff.
Joss has school on a Saturday. I think you're meant to see him play football this afternoon.
That's fine by me. Living up here, Gordon, must be difficult to conjure up any more ambitions.
Good heavens, I don't have ambitions.
If I'd had the money, I'd have retired years ago.
I bet you have ambition.
Well, yeah. Not to see my life's work dissolve away into nothing.
By which you mean fast breeders?
I've lived fast breeders since I left college.
And you surely can't believe they're going to dissolve away into nothing.
So far as the States and the UK are concerned, Gordon, that depends on you and me and what we can make happen in the next 7 days before my political world catches up on me or the newspapers.
Donachie! Donnie!
Oh, you, is it?
I take it from that ridiculous cardboard notice you're holding up that we're both meeting the same person. Do we know who this Henshaw is?
Some sort of a freelance journalist with an agency in New York.
Bloody Saturday afternoon. He'd better have something worthwhile. I'm missing my football.
If you can smell dollars, Salter, you're not worried about football.
Here, if I'm not mistaken, is a dude who's recognized your notice.
Mr. Salter.
He's Salter. I'm Donaghy, Friends of the Earth.
John Henshaw's my name.
Well, we'd better grab ourselves a drink before the bars close up for the afternoon.
I found your names through that Red Brigade story you came up with, the death train hijack. Now, that's the kind of item our agency would deal in.
I'm not in the business of trading information.
Life for poor Donny here has to be a very clean thing. No buying or selling or spitting or screwing.
Our agency is a non-profit-making organization.
Don't tell Salter that. You'll frighten him off.
I take it you want our help in chasing the story.
Secret negotiations between the UK and the States over fast breeder reactors.
The British government can't do anything on fast breeders until the report on the Piatt inquiry.
Johnny, not everyone plays the game to the rules. I like you.
Washington needs an agreement signed and sealed with some other country before the new Congress gets its teeth into their nuclear budget. The obvious choice is to buy into your projected CDFR.
Our what?
Commercial demonstration fast reactor, Salter. I thought you French journalists prided yourselves on knowledge.
Knowledge, not jargon, Donny boy. You'll have to be careful with Donny Henshaw. I mean, as a friend of the Earth, he never gets visibly involved in anything underhand.
And what about the Red Brigade story?
Ah, that was his girlfriend out in Italy. She gave up her dolls and became a terrorist. He got drunk one night and told me all about her. His political love life sicked up all over the floor. I suppose you're another idealist. I mean, you're not exactly in it for the dirty dollars.
I'm in it. For the dirty secrets. I don't like dirty secrets. They need to be washed out into the open.
That is, without question, the most brutal 2 hours of sport I have ever witnessed.
English gentlemen at play. Can I back out through that gap?
Left hand down.
We'll pick Joss up on the corner. Unless he gets dragged off to have tea with the visiting team. Oh, there he is.
Ah.
See him through the mud.
And the blood.
Joss, you staying for tea?
No fear.
Well played, the fullback. Heroic stuff. Hey, sit on your bag. I don't want half an acre of clay all over my back seat. This is Dave Ridgway. Dave, this is Joss.
How do you do?
I'm surprised you're still alive.
So am I.
You'll have to teach me how to play this suicidal game.
Pretty desperate rearguard action, wasn't it? You made at least 6 try-saving tackles.
They still walked all over us.
They didn't cross your line. 3 kicked penalties is hardly a decisive victory.
Who was the sinister man with one gloved hand who kept barking at you all?
Tinfin.
Tinfin?
So far as I know, that's his only name.
He blew his hand off in the school lab. He's head of science. And master in charge of Rugger. Lethal with his iron fist.
Tinfin is also a passionate supporter of nuclear energy.
Oh.
Something of a dying breed.
What about the dying breed air? Are you two conspiring successfully for its survival?
It's not yet dead in Europe.
Very much alive. If Dave decides to move to Paris after his visit to Italy.
My projected visit to Segrais is, I assure you, mere courtesy. Partnership is not part of the French vocabulary.
They have partnership with the Italians.
French-dominated partnership. And they hate Anglo-Saxons. No, Paris is one town I do not intend to enter on bended knee.
I hope you're not suggesting you're on bended knee in London.
We're both on bended knees, Gordon. The price of democratic decision-making. Public debate has talked the balls off us.
Off your politicians.
No, we are their balls, Joss. And their brains. It's our misfortune that balls and brains need legs and arms. Congress, Parliament, presidents, and prime ministers.
And secretaries of state.
Are you going to church?
No.
Do you want the papers?
No fear.
Coffee.
Oh, bless you, Helen.
Observer's got half a page on nuclear industry and the environment. They quote you twice.
Oh, my God.
With an accolade as a threat at the end. At least Dr. Martin Reed is our first Secretary of State for Energy with the objectivity and background to make a careful and rational decision.
I think I rather funked that on Friday. Told the Undersecretary fast breeders were his decision. Tomorrow it'll come up in Cabinet, and I'll have to tell them the decision's not yet taken. Boadicea will eat me for breakfast. You know, nuclear energy is the only aphrodisiac left to her.
Which Undersecretary is it?
Gordon Aylan.
What's he like?
Oh, a gentleman with silver hair who quotes Kirkle numbers to selected friends.
What an air, the Kirkle numbers.
Exactly.
Where's our exuberant American?
Having a bath. He's been learning rugger on the lawn with the boys. Mm. At least it was meant to be on the lawn. He demolished my herbaceous border and came in all covered in mud and dahlia petals. I brought some ice for your drinks.
He obviously has you very well trained. I can't imagine you laughing if I'd destroyed your herbaceous border. Where's the newspaper?
He took it in the bath with him.
Hmm. Not my weekend, is it?
Has he talked business yet?
Overtly or covertly, he never stops talking business. Everything he says seems to throb with neutrons.
He's worried about you.
We're both on the same side. I don't know what he has to be worried about.
Gordon!
Hold tight.
I'll go and get lunch on the table. He has to be back in London by 4 o'clock. He's in here, Dave.
Ah. You read this newspaper, Gordon?
I haven't yet had the chance.
Sunday environmentalists. What do they think the environment is, fairyland? The environment is 4,000 million people trying to eat and keep warm, period. What does anyone think is going to happen when the juice runs out? You pull the plug. Everything
dies. That didn't do my record much
good. Cities, towns, villages, even the computers die. Cold and hungry people will make a very ugly and violent world. And that's what environment is. Environment, my ass. Nuclear power was never going to be no philosopher's stone.
That's the way it was being sold 20 years ago.
Just in the first flush of excitement.
Help yourself to whiskey, Dave.
Oh, thanks.
See the cedar tree from this armchair.
We need to be building 10.
The boys used to have a swing from that little branch.
And we haven't yet got ourselves a 1,000 megawatt demonstrator.
It's 200 years old, that tree.
We have no in the marketplace, Gordon. And if we can't sell fast breeders around the world, we're not going to keep costs low enough to make our own fast breeders economical.
So the rest of the world is meant to subsidize us.
Numbers and prices, Gordon. The Volkswagen equation. If you're building 10 reactors, you have a cost factor of X divided by 10. If you're building 1,000 reactors, your X starts to shrink.
1,000 fast reactors. Assume an incident factor of 2.5%. 25 fast reactors in some kind of trouble every year. X works both ways.
Enzo?
Solo key. Numero uno?
No, it's not the number one. It's on the other side.
Give me the telephone.
On a Sunday evening?
I don't care if it's Christmas. There's no French guru here tonight, and I'm taking no chances. But turn that thing off.
Pronto.
Gianni, sono Enzo. We have a sound blip on the number 2 sensor, so all that French talk about number 1 being a faulty instrument is rubbish.
Well, you're in charge of the shift. What do you want to do?
I want to shut the damn thing down and have a look inside.
Well, that won't be popular, not this week. Look, we're meant to be going on stream in 4 days' time. They've sent the invitations out.
I'm putting it on slow coast down, Gianni. If they want anything else done, they'll have to come here and do it themselves.
Look, will you hold off until the morning?
No.
Give us half an hour then while I talk to them.
Who is this Enzo?
He came with me from the Latino Magnots. He's a very good operator.
Overcautious, I would say, if he's talking about a visual inspection. Drain out 2,000 tons of molten and radioactive sodium. It's out as a question for something that is almost certainly a total false alarm.
Well, why do we have instruments and warning systems if we choose to ignore them?
Gianni, what we are dealing with here are not established safety systems. They are experimental instruments.
But the whole plant meant to be experimental. And that surely means we follow up each situation as it presents itself.
If we're going to shut down the whole thing and take it to pieces every time we get a blip on a sound graph, we're never going to achieve anything.
So, no shutdown.
No shutdown.
It's Standards of education will not suffer, notwithstanding the level of cuts. We are, as a government, pursuing quality, not quantity.
Whatever the hell that can mean in education.
Energy? Did you say something?
Well, I think I'm right in saying, Prime Minister, that I'm the only person round this table who is actually sending his or her children to a state school, and I know, as well as the general public knows, that standards of education have suffered from the spending cuts.
And what are you suggesting?
That the Secretary of State for Education and Science avoids reference to standards and quality. Better still, leave education out of the Queen's speech altogether.
I would firmly resist that.
Anyone else? You're in a minority, Energy. We'll take education as read. Transport now, please. Foreign Secretary?
I fear, Prime Minister, that transport will mean the Channel Tunnel, a discussion best embarked upon after the visit of the French President. I suggest we move on to energy.
You snake-like creature, Ordish. What are you up to?
And I think on that subject Parliament will expect a firm statement of intent on the fast breeder.
Her Majesty's government will act according to the recommendations of the judge following the public inquiry, and that is all I intend to say.
Any more prevarication over this fast breeder thing, and we're going to lose every nuclear physicist and engineer in the country.
Bloody hell. That was industry. They're ganging up on me. We cannot preempt the Pyatt report.
From an international point of view, it is important to restate quite clearly our firm intention to build a commercial fast breeder. The Americans have rather boxed themselves in on this, and I do assure you that they are most anxious Britain at least keeps her breeder option open and ongoing.
Do I take that to mean, Foreign Secretary, the Americans have proposed some kind of arrangement?
I would not trespass upon your territory, Martin.
Well, there seems to be some sort of Whitehall, White House conspiracy to nail colours to the mast before the judge's report is even published.
I'm glad you did not say Downing Street conspiracy. Time is up. Some of us have to be out at the airport to meet our French visitors by midday. Energy is adjourned to our next session. Thank you, everyone. Punctuality tomorrow, please. And brevity.
Uh-huh.
We're running very late for the Queen's speech already. And she has expressed her wish to see a draft by the weekend.
I'm feeling very bruised. The Foreign Secretary's organised himself a little gang in the corner of the playground.
If I may ask, Minister, who is in this gang?
Trade and industry, defence, ag and fish, even the Chancellor, I think. They're all nodding away like a row of bloody penguins. Now, what I want to know is why the sudden interest in the affairs of my department?
We're another piece on the Foreign Secretary's diplomatic board, and a lot more flexible, Minister, than policies in the Middle East or South Africa.
Gordon?
I imagine, Secretary of State, that fast breeders is a favour the Foreign Secretary has promised to come up with in Washington.
Well, certainly the FCO would strongly disapprove of the Americans organising a partnership with the French.
And is that why the French have invited this Ridgeway down to Italy this week?
Oh, most certainly. And another very powerful argument, Minister, for us to push ahead without delay.
Maybe. But Gordon is preparing the brief, and upon that brief the decision will be made.
CDFR budget?
Yes, Kate. Come in.
I've condensed it down to two sheets.
It's monopoly, isn't it? Buy Park Lane, sell Liverpool Street, build the fast breeder. You'd have thought we'd have learnt our lesson after Concord and Dungeness and dispensed with estimates once and for all.
Concord is hardly relevant.
If the fast breeder was an aeroplane, I can assure you the Treasury would have killed it stone dead long before the public inquiry. As for Dungeness, if ever it is completed, it will be at least 12 years late and £400 million over budget.
How was your weekend with Dave Ridgway?
Punctuated by his energy and enthusiasm.
You sound as though energy and enthusiasm are qualities you regard with suspicion.
More apprehension.
Is he around today?
He's up at Doomray with the Atomic Energy Authority until tomorrow. Perhaps 24 hours on the north coast of Scotland will dissipate some of his fervour. OK, you'd better look at this. Economics and Statistics branch sent it up today. Projected energy demand, or rather lack of projected energy demand. Electricity consumption this September down 3.5% from last year.
The weather's been warmer.
Not, in fact. The Met Office averages out temperatures half a degree colder than last year. The GMP forecasts, population curve, energy-saving campaign, decline in iron and steel industries, zero growth in potteries and ceramics. Ceramics, for God's sake. They all add up in the year 2010 to a projected maximum peak demand of 69,000 megawatts. If we build our projected generation of fast breeders, we'll have in the year 2010 a maximum peak capability of 109,000 megawatts.
Ergo?
Ergo, we don't need fast breeders in the year 2010.
And if the computer has underestimated by the odd 30%?
Then, if we haven't built fast breeders, we get nationwide blackouts during hard winters and at Sunday lunchtimes. And our decision would have been one of history's more major cock-ups. Either way, it probably will be.
What happened about that television film you saw?
I meant to be meeting the program controller this afternoon. See if we can't get it quietly shelved away.
Bob? Bob?
Oh, it's you.
This is Henshaw.
So you're the Yank who's had us bent over this machine all day.
Will it be ready?
For a film that wasn't destined for transmission for another month, as ready as you'd expect.
They're giving you a go ahead for tonight?
On this programme? No one knows until the last minute what goes out and what gets spiked. Do I get to know why the sudden urgency? Salter here in need of his transmission fee. We were holding this for the publication of the Pyatt Report.
It seems people in high government are determined not to wait for the honourable judge. We're applying a little pressure. Dragging fast breeders back into the headline. I like the title.
Pandora's Christmas Cracker.
It's the shape of the fuel flask. We wanted Death Train for a title, but that was considered too provocative.
Henshaw wants to know whether you met any of the D of N civil servants.
Sue, can you remember any names?
Gordon Allen. He's the Undersecretary in charge of nuclear energy.
Did you happen to pick up anything on him?
Sue?
Well, something for you, Salter. Yeah? Allen's son used to play bass guitar for a pop group called Gay Abandon. He's writing songs with Mick Aidan at the moment.
That figures.
I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Allen. I can't understand what could have gone wrong. He was flying down from Manchester specially to see you.
Aeroplanes, I expect. They're always going wrong. You tell him to stick to British Rail next time. Is there any chance of his turning up?
This is only the admin block. They lock the doors at 6:30.
When he does arrive, tomorrow or next week, you might ask him to call in at my office. Policy document from Gordon Allen to the Secretary of State. Paragraph 1, energy requirements. Well, at least the sky's clearing. Winter's first sharp frost tonight, perhaps. A few million homes jacking up their central heating. Possible go slow in the pits. Maybe we could even engineer a simultaneous oil shortage. That'll settle our nuclear future once and for all.
Hello, Dad. Anyone else on the train?
I thought I saw Pendle at Charing Cross. Where the hell have you been? You've put 50 miles on the clock today.
I filled the tank.
Pendle, lift.
Hello, Allen. Rocks.
Evening, Colonel.
Oh. Oh, that's jolly nice. Save the old legs. So long to wait for the damn bus this time of night. Had a good day?
I wouldn't say so.
Oh, bloody charity meetings I've been to. Lots of old women with nothing more to do than talk. Time I retired properly. How's your side of life, young man?
Looking a bit better today, Colonel.
What's happened?
Got a studio demo to do tomorrow, and a journalist rang up and asked for an interview.
Yeah.
Bloke called Salter, quite a big shot. Time out and what have you. And he's got an American journalist in tow.
Oh, sounds promising. About time you had a break. Look, stop at the pub. I'll buy you a snort to celebrate.
The pub's out for me this evening. I have to keep my beady eye on television. Make sure the government's name's not being taken in vain.
You still in with all that nuclear stuff?
In and drowning, I think.
Oh, never have fancied that for a sensible system. Too much centralised power. Always a damn bad thing. Not to mention the technology of it.
That's about the only aspect we don't have to worry about, Pendle. The technology of it's absolutely foolproof.
One fragment of ceramic as small as a king-sized cigarette, as large as a bullet. It is held, for the most part, immobile, against the protective grid under the fuel core, by the force of the molten sodium pushed out and up by the four primary pumps. However, through two of the pumps, there is a slight oscillation of flow due to minute imperfections in the valve seals. When the oscillations happen to coincide, the resulting swirl in the flow of sodium is enough to momentarily release pressure on the fragment and impact it again against the angled apertures of the grid. An unnaturally magnified boom in the sound sensors, like an anchor crashing against the hull of a ship. The grid remains undamaged, but the fracture lines on the fragment are beginning to develop into cracks.
In part two of Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, Gordon Aylan was played by Hugh Dixon, Kate by Patricia Gallimore, and the voice of Muff by Hayden Jones. Dr. Martin, Michael N. Harbour, Dave Ridgway, Blaine Fairman, the Permanent Undersecretary, Anthony Benson, Mary, Patricia Gibson, Roxy, Kim Durham, Salter, Simon Carter, Henshaw, Kerry Shale, and Donaghy, Graham Padden, Enso, Terry Malloy, Johnny, Nigel Lambert, Helen, Heather Barrett, Audish, Mark Woolgar, the Prime Minister is Anne Churchman, Colonel Pendle, Ronald Herdman, and the French engineer, David Van. The theme music was composed by Robert Campbell and Michael Shepherd. The serial was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.